This is Colorado Public Radio. I'm Mike Lamp. It seems like an afterthought when Oscars are awarded for short animations and live-action films that many people have never heard of. But the nominees are available in a package showing in the area right now. Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Moskowitz says several are very good.
Short films are mostly seen at film festivals or online, and maybe in art houses once or twice a year. For the most part, it seems to me that many people say they love short films until they actually have the chance to see them. Yet the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has three categories for short films: documentaries, live action, and animated. And a program of the live action and animated nominated shorts is making the rounds. One hopes that short films will have some kind of punchy wit, a poignant situation, or a good joke, like Daffy Duck fighting with the artist who draws him in Chuck Jones' cartoon Duck Amuck. A lovely short called The Lunch Date from 1989 has a memorable reversal at the end that flips the meaning of everything you see or think during most of the picture. By definition, a short film has to be quick and also tight and savvy. There's no time for loose sentimentality and dithering. Years ago, an avant-gardist named Hollis Frampton made a film called Less. In one elegant second, a complete hand-drawn figure takes shape on screen. It's brilliant. I wish I could say the same about the Oscar-nominated short animations. Of the five, four are dreary sentimental pieces that engulf the mind with dullness, images of people learning to be gooey nice, or the bland first people on Earth getting the first dog, or a guy getting a date by sending paper airplanes at his dull-eyed lady love. These films show not a touch of wit or imagination. Timothy Record's Head Over Heels starts with a provocative image. An older couple live in a two-part house in which the parts are upside down to each other. The sight of one of the couple upside down, cooking eggs or whatever, is a good one. But the film never gets beyond its initial limited picture of difference. It ends with the two finally right side up to each other. It's a listless metaphor with no grab. And in these four shorts, the animation itself is that sterile and frozen-looking digital stuff that all looks alike, has no emotional complexity, and for reasons I still do not understand, yearns to resemble actuality. Why animate if all you want is second-rate realism? The last of the five nominated animated shorts is a Simpson cartoon, produced by Matt Groening and directed by David Silverman. It's called Maggie Simpson, The Longest Daycare. Poor Maggie goes to a wretched daycare center named for the writer Ayn Rand, which is full of vicious competition and misery. As animation, the cartoon has lively color, interesting shapes, clever, funny drawings, and real brains and wit in the story. Superficially, it's not fair that essentially amateur pieces have to compete against filmmakers with the resources to make this kind of polished work. But imagination and vision have no connection to budget. For decades in Eastern Europe, animators made films on no money that are done with simple drawings but show a command of image and metaphor that pack a wallop, emotionally and politically. Matt Groening didn't always have the money he has now. Stacy Steers in Boulder makes stunning, haunting animations, and budget is not the reason. I just hope the films in the Oscar competition do not represent the best work available. And a quick word about the live-action shorts. Assad by Brian Buckley and Mino Jarjura is about a kid in Somalia who has to thread his way around thugs and pirates. Buckley has done so many Super Bowl commercials, he's called the king of the Super Bowl. But this short film has guts and soul. I'm Howie Moskowitz.
Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Moskowitz is director of film education at the University of Colorado Denver's College of Arts and Media.